ladies and gentlemen. Welcome to the one, the only, the amazing, the awesome SF-Zero podcast of badassery. Here we have hosting Sombrero Guy.
Hello.
Known for his wonderful sombrero, his traveling gnomes, and his awesome solo and group praxis. And our special guest today, we have Art Mouse, who is so prolific and so badass that she has the high score mark tattooed permanently upon her body.
Hello, everybody.
And we should point out that narrating this introduction was Pixie, who is obviously as amazing as the rest of us.
Oh, that's sweet. So, news, or the lack thereof.
Indeed.
We have one new senator since we've done this.
Brock Doubles got the senatorship, didn't
Brock
he?
Brock Doubles. He changed his campaign many times, but he has been elected, and so he's a senator! Yay!
Yeah.
What else has happened of note since last we podcasted?
Well, we've had a couple of journey events. Journey to the End of the Night in Mexico, and one at the Halloween one in San Francisco, which I believe Art Mouse attended. She could tell us more.
Yeah, so I just attended the Journey to the End of Night Halloween. Second one that was held in San Francisco. I wasn't able to attend last year's. I was very saddened because I was studying abroad. But this year, I was very excited to attend. And it was also actually the largest recorded journey. It had 1,300 participants.
That's a lot.
That's insane.
And everyone was in costume, and it was, like, wonderful.
What'd you dress up as?
I was the Bart system map.
Actually, hilarious. Yes, I remember seeing the photo. It's a good
was
costume.
It was always good when people would actually recognize what it was. They're like, oh, you're Bart. And I'm like, yes.
Well, you do seem to identify as a Bart PA-er.
I do.
Why do you identify as a Bart PA? I mean, you're old enough to where Trajectories of Desire actually mattered.
Actually, I wasn't actually active in the era where you had to choose your team. Or had to, like, switch teams or whatever if you wanted to do a task in another group. I started playing at the very end of Insatiability. I did, like, two things in Insatiability, and then Everyday Life started.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
I didn't realize you were sort of such a new... I say new, yeah. I mean Everyday Life has been going on for years. But
2 years.
I joined at some point near the beginning, I think, of Insatiability. As far as I remember, you didn't have to choose a group then. I think choosing a group was something they got rid of after Glasnost quite a long time ago.
Okay.
I mean, I know a fair bit about those times just kind of through conversational osmosis and, like, hearing from a lot of the local players here who were active and who are just, you know, my plain old friends at this point in time.
Something I've always been curious about is what does it feel like to task with, you know, epic, prolific people? Who, like, have been around forever, you know, or people who have really left their mark on the site.
Yeah.
I mean, you're one of them, so tasking with you would be a fantastic honor.
Oh my gosh, yeah. I mean, just how speechless I am is basically kind of what it feels like. The first couple times, you just end up being really starstruck, and you're like, oh my god, that's that player, and they did that, and it was so awesome, and I don't know how I'm ever gonna, like, keep my head on straight and not, like, totally freak out in front of them. I don't know, I pulled that off, so it was good. I mean, now we're just all friends. It's a really fun experience, and I wish they'd task more. I mean, I totally understand everyone's individual situation on why they're not really active anymore.
Actually, the biggest news is the fact that no one's doing anything. You can go days and days and days, and there's no new practice.
Yeah.
And
it's turning to a desert of non-activity.
It's the curse of everyday life.
Everyday life has had moments of brilliance.
Yes, yes. But it very much reflects everyday life in that respect, where something amazing doesn't always happen every day.
Yeah.
And everyone's kind of like, oh, well, I'm just going to go and live my normal life or something.
So what has been your favorite task?
Ever?
Favorite task you've ever done?
I've ever done. That's tough. I mean, I've had so much fun doing all... I mean, do you want me to go this era or the whole shebang?
All time.
All time.
I'm now also going to look through the list and see if I can pick my favorite of your tasks.
Yeah, that'd be
interesting. Which could be just
as
difficult.
Well, most recently, I wear your art as your sleeve. That was just a lot of fun to do. I've actually been wanting to do a scarification of a fleur on my arm for, like, at least a year or two.
Like, that was painful, right?
This is what I'm thinking. You're sort of cutting the pattern onto your skin with a knife. Was it actually really painful? Is it kind
No,
of.
actually, I mean, it was an experience unlike anything else I've ever done. I've discovered over time that I have a much higher pain threshold than most other people. Surprise, surprise.
I think that you've leveled up enough sufficiently to where you've acquired that skill.
Certainly, there should be a badge for that. Just kidding.
You are the sixth best in the world, you know.
Yeah, I know. I just kind of realized this over the last few weeks or so. Artemis is actually a sort of different individual and an entity actually separate from myself. And I hadn't realized this before, and I was just going and, tasking as myself and as Artemis, reading back through all these processes. It really kind of, she has a lot of qualities that I wish I could have, or wish I could always sort of exude on a daily basis. Yeah, I have a lot of fun kind of taking on that role for tasking. I mean, originally I had no idea that I was tasking as a character, and then it just kind of dawned on me recently, so.
That is definitely cool.
This was part of a really huge process, is for the Exquisite Derive. Oh man, it was
Oh,
so fun,
that was the
like,
same one
cause.
that I did. I've just realized
Yes, it
that.
was, yeah. Exactly. I mean, it was, one, really fun to collaborate with all you guys. And I mean, it's the only thing Charleyfish, and well, kind of Secret Agent, but he's done some other stuff recently. Pretty much the only thing Charleyfish has done in days. Like, did we loot?
We are having some technical difficulties.
While the problems are being sorted out, please take the time to listen to a word from our sponsor. By which I mean, Pixie asked me to put this in for some reason.
Ladies and gentlemen, this is a public service announcement coming from Senator Pixie, and I'm here to tell you that you should vote for 1001 Things We Can't Live Without by Likes Music from the Order of the Wild Onion. I think it is the kind of task that everyone should see because it is highly educational. There's a lot of things going on in it that are really, really good and should be supported, and then there are some interesting things going on about it, which bring up a few of the major concerns at SF0. But overall, I would advocate that everyone should look at and vote for this task so it gets more attention. Thank you, and I hope you have a wonderful day. Pixie signing out. Okay, so ladies and gentlemen, now that we've had our technical difficulties, we are getting back into the guest interview of this portion of the podcast. How is Art Mouse different than you?
She's a lot more direct and sort of, in so many words, just like self-confident and assured of her actions. I'm not like that all the time, and she, for the most part, is. I feel like that also happens with other players on the side. I was just talking to Christina with a K about it. She kind of confirmed that. I mean, the most obvious case would be, her stint as the Vixen, because that is so very obviously her, like, best foot forward kind of thing. I mean, she was playing as a character. It was definitely a character that was like Christina the K, but just amped up, more ballsy, more like out there, and just willing to do like anything for the sake of a task, so.
I admire that a lot. I've gone through periods where I was willing to do anything for a task, and then sometimes bad things would happen, outside of game world consequences. And I'm a little afraid of those now. That's probably why you're a more badass player than I am. I was just looking through your praxis, and I think my favorite one is Secret Art Tattoos, or,
Secret wall tattoos.
Secret Wall Tattoos.
I was liking that one
Oh
as
my
well.
goodness.
Thank you.
So. It's an awesome, interesting idea. It's beautifully executed. It's just like, it's fun and playful and awesome. It makes me happy.
Oh, thank you. You all know I didn't do it alone. My
This is
classmates helped
true.
out. I'll admit it was my idea, but
It was a good
yeah,
idea.
I couldn't have done it without them.
Also, I love your taste in books. I'm seeing Ender's Game, Dune, Twelfth Night.
Always happy to encourage good reading.
So, what are your favorite kinds of tasks? And do you like tasking to like enhance your personal life? Do you like artistic tasking where you just take something and make it a little bit better? What do you like to do when you're tasking?
Tasks I really admire include ones that they tie together all the great elements of the game, like creating emotional reflection on the part of the tasker, or like realization or seeking intellectual, like, knowledge, even though it may just be for the sake of the task, like going out and like learning something new. Also, when it's shared with others in, like, you know, public or private, or any time where you can engage the public in a way that's totally unexpected and fun, and, you know, gets them thinking about aspects of their own world and how just like the variance of experience from person to person, and especially exploration.
Exploration is fun.
Which task do you think that you've done that's giving you like the most emotional growth? And also, okay, this is kind of a mean trick question, but what is your, like, what is the most inspirational task that you've seen someone else do?
Someone else?
Yeah.
Wait, why is this a trick question?
Oh, it's just that there are so many good other, like, there are so many good tasks out there that other people have done. If someone asked me that, then I'd be like, okay, bringing it on you, like, 10 years.
Emotionally, you mean? Or just, like, best task ever? I don't know.
Either way.
Oh, shit. Oops, sorry. Can I swear?
Questions. Yes, you can swear all you want.
Cool. Okay. Yeah, it's not like it's going on the radio or anything. Favorite task ever would definitely have to be door installation in Doorhinge.
Of course.
Oh, such a good task! Such a good task!
I think that's pretty much the benchmark, you know. If you want to do an epic task, that's the one to beat. I'm not sure if it is actually beatable.
Actually, the task with the most votes is the one where they converted the bus station into, like, a really nice place.
Oh, yeah, yeah. That is, shoot, I forget the title of the task, but yeah, they made a little,
had some nice speakers, nice curtains, it was lovely.
That is an epic task, definitely. And the, just a so thoughtful execution, which is perfect, and then, like, sitting and, like, observing people encountering it as well is just, like,
oh yeah, that's the one with the highest score. Because that was back in the days when they apparently used to have a really weird scoring system, I think, whereby as you went up a level, the amount of points your vote was worth went up according to Fibonacci numbers or something.
And apparently when you reached levels in the Fibonacci sequence, you got special powers.
So, you've got some people's votes here that are worth 34 points on that.
Whoa.
So it ended up with 1,059 vote points.
But a lot of those are just plain old 5-pointer votes, aren't they?
Okay, I think it's quite a lot of them are, yeah.
I don't doubt it has an insane, awesome amount of points. And votes, you know, on either front, either way you look at it.
Like, Doorhenge has the most votes, according to this, because it was probably submitted in a later era when votes were worth less points. Or sometimes I just look at old tasks, think they're awesome, and then forget to click the vote button.
Right? It's like, oh. I'm also a huge fan of Strange Guard by Dax, where he wears entirely skirts or variations of...
Oh, I've seen that. It was glorious.
Yes. If there's one thing I like just as much as girls wearing mustaches is men wearing skirts, so...
And kilts. Kilts are glorious.
I think this, you've actually directed me to an awesome task that I have not seen before.
Really?
How have I not seen this before? I don't know how this happens sometimes.
It happens, certainly.
I suppose it was submitted to, like, the month after I joined, but still.
I have one question for you that is kind of like the question that me and Simberg are like, okay, this is the question. This is what we want to ask.
The question. Dun, dun, dun.
The question. The most, okay, it's not necessarily the most important question ever, but it's definitely topical.
All right.
So, I think that we're having lack of drive varietis going on lately with people on the site.
Lack of what?
And your lack of drive varietis. It's like a disease, but it gives you no drive. It's depressing. It makes us all cry.
Is it contagious as well? I mean, it seems to have been spreading.
Exactly. Seeing as you're awesome and prolific and have done a lot of tasks, how do you combat it? How do you deal with the lack of drive?
I think the biggest thing is just going back and visiting the site. Yeah, whenever I'm kind of looking for inspiration, it's really helpful to, look at these epic tasks that have been completed before you, and you're like, how can I reach those levels, you know, and just kind of amping yourself up. If you have or have not noticed, I actually haven't submitted anything since September, but for the record, I have been doing a lot of just kind of small tasks. Like, I'll just do, like, a mini completion of some tasks, and I don't necessarily want any points for it or whatever, I just, you know.
You just like the tasking.
That's the way it should be.
Yeah, and then I shared them in the comments section. I think I linked it on my profile, correctly or incorrectly labeled as level zero. I don't know how many people actually got to see them, because, you know, they're only comments, so, and those can cycle through pretty fast. Like, I did Katabasis. What else?
Wow, I'm looking at your calendar art one, and it's... calendar art?
Calendar art, yeah.
That's pretty funny.
Yeah, there's some other photos that I definitely am not going to share online.
That's okay. We understand. I sadly have tied too much of my, like, actual life and tried to get too many people who I actually know into the game, and it's had some not-as-fun consequences.
Yeah, there was definitely a time where I was driving really hard for my friends to create accounts and start tasking, and it was hard because, like, I'm already active on the site, and I know all these things that are going on, and I'm just kind of, I have to, like, relay all this information to them. Most of them didn't really stick with it, so to speak, but whenever I bring it up, they're like, oh yeah, SF0, it's so much fun, we should do some more stuff, and then they don't. So, yeah. I mean, at least they're enthusiastic about it, I suppose.
I've always had a problem with, I don't know, making people enthusiastic about it, I suppose.
I just have this problem where, like, I'll go on dates with someone, and they'll be like, hey, so what are you doing in your spare time? And I'm like, well, there's this amazing website. And they join, and they'll play for a while, and then if I decide not to be interested in them anymore, then they stop playing. And that just really bothers me. Dude, play for the game.
Yeah.
I've just kind of, for the most part, given up on trying to recruit people now. Since I've been at university, I haven't actually tried. Like, I had basically massive failure on recruiting back in Bournemouth when none of my friends were interested, really. And it's kind of put me off trying here.
No.
To some extent.
Do you believe more in the type of tell your friends who you think would be interested about it recruitment method, or the kind where you slips of paper into strangers' pockets and purses kind of recruitment method, where they think, oh, it's a message?
It's hard to say, because I feel like in the past, the friends method really worked. Back when the game was starting, the majority of people, like, they was just, like, their name was their player. They played as themselves and with friends. But nowadays, I mean, I do highly recommend the method of random distribution to strangers, because I feel like a lot of the new players now totally came across SF0 by chance. And in that method, you grab the people who already have an interest in it. You know, there are lots of players who started because their friends are doing it, or their friend recommended it to them. Like, I started playing because I actually had, you know, a proper introduction to the game, and I, you know, someone who's already playing, and they were really enthusiastic about it. So that
brings us to Kate Saturday's first question, which is, how did you find SF0?
Yes. I didn't so much find SF0 as have it bestowed on me as a very lovely gift. My friend Proximity, he had just encountered the game 6 or so months before, and was tasking and was really getting into the community and the history. He was probably, honestly, the best person to introduce me to the game, because his enthusiasm was still so fresh, and he was so involved. Yeah, and then we just started tasking together. Actually, the first task that we participated in was, well, together anyway, was Let Someone Else Plan Your Day.
Ooh!
That was so fun.
That was always an interesting one, yes.
And it was totally coincidental, but just happened to task with, like, some of the most legendary players and the founders, you know, like SSI, like, and just that very first task, and it's just, like, such a crazy occurrence. Like, it was like, you know, fate smiled down on me that day. Just kind of interesting, because the premise, Proximity, just kind of brought up. He hadn't even told me about the game yet. I think he posted on Facebook or something. He's like, hey, does anyone else want to go do this with me? And I read it. I'm like, yes. I think that kind of just, that might even be the best method. It's just kind of getting the word out yourself. And maybe not, like, pushing specific people so hard to join, but just describing how you participate in the game and just like all the fun and awesome things that are going on surrounding it. So people are like, oh, that looks interesting. What's that? You know? And I think what's really unique about SFSR is it attracts like this very particular kind of person. Or like the people who stick with it anyway. Like they just have this like really deep-seated curiosity and, you know, desire to interact with other quirky people, I guess.
It's true. This community is amazing. And it makes me sad because there aren't as many people in Portland who I can really talk to about this kind of thing. There aren't enough crazy people in the world, but I mean the right kind of crazy.
We have more good crazy people.
We don't need more science gurus on the site. No, sorry.
I hear legends of that, but not. I haven't ever really looked at anything she's ever done.
The whole drama about that was mainly lived out through comments, so it wasn't even really her tasking. I mean, maybe, you know, partially.
Did she task?
Not very much, if I remember correctly, but I have no idea. I mean, all I really remember is that she would just post really harsh commentary on things. And for someone in particular too, but I don't need to go into that because I don't need to gossip.
Okay, I understand that. So back to Saturday's questions. Why do you play SF0?
The people Aww. I get to meet through the site. I can verifiably say that 80% of the really meaningful friends that I've made in the past 2 years have been through this site. Yeah. And I think the retention of friendship is much higher than, say, someone you meet at an event or in a bar or whatever, you know? Mm-hmm. Just because there's a common place where you can kind of go back and interact with them, pick each other's brains about stuff. And the Skype chat functions like that, but on a more casual level. Sometimes I am a little intimidated too. Participate in the chat.
Although some of the chat's topics they have they look too clever. I just can't.
Yeah, you like go back and read the ones from the past day. How am I ever going to say something so witty?
I think they all secretly have a committee behind each member where there's like a PhD in linguistics always there.
Well,
and
Ben,
then they just
pretty
go and randomly talk about sports.
Ben is a linguist.
Yeah.
I know, but he's not the only one.
No, Doc is too. So.
Yeah, when you have other Doc, Tack Haberdash.
Oh, Tack Haberdash. Oh my gosh, shout out everyone. His blogging about myths is the most amazing thing that has ever happened in my life.
Myths retold, yes.
Well, when you have a big group of them online all at the same time discussing something, it just looks sort of scarily clever discussion.
I just say, hi! They're all like, hi, Pixie! And then I keep on going. It's okay, though.
Oh, speaking of out-of-game forums, I made this really crazy discovery last week. I was looking up the SF0 wiki and the SF0 library, and I just typed that into Google, and this really curious thing came up. The title of it is the SF0 Info Center.
What?
Yeah, Center. And it's...
We have one of those?
Yeah, it's founded right before Everyday Life started by SSI. And they meant it to be a place where you could go and ask questions of other players about, like, about the game, but it doesn't have to be, like, in the game, you know? People can look up advice, or they can discuss awesome proxies and stuff. I mean, I think that's what it was supposed to be designed for.
I'm now trying to track this thing down.
I'll give you the address in a minute, but, like, the little welcome message is, like, welcome to the SF0 Info Center. The place to go for mundane, practical, and obscure SF0 info. The help squad would love to answer your questions, or at least try their very darndest to answer your questions. I feel like SSI just didn't tell anybody about this and kind of abandoned it. There's one other player who actually has logged in and has helped one person with one question, but that's like the only activity on the site. I have no idea how good the site is. Like, maybe they abandoned it because it really isn't that ideal for, like, their purposes. But anyway, the address is SF0, spelled out, .lefora, like, LEFORA .com. Like, that was, like, wasn't that, like, a big topic during the debate, too? Is having a place for people to go to just ask a straight-up question.
It feels kind of like you're walking into a nice, you know, a room, It's all cozy and sweet in a library.
This is a good idea. It should get used.
Yeah, I was like, how is nobody using this? And I just totally stumbled upon it. It was really amazing.
Oh, speaking of that, I want to do a shout-out. All ye players who have been around for a while, so Sombrero Guy and us for sure, and anyone who's listening who cares, or even new people who are just learning their way around, I want to do a massive SF0 wiki edit. I've been trying to push this for a while. And so if you can think of a task where doing a massive wiki edit would be applicable, so we have the whole points to motivate us thing, and we could just do it over a course of like 36 hours, everyone just putting it in, then I think we could become updated for the last like 4 years of things that have happened.
This would be good. The wiki is kind of hidden away somewhere, isn't it?
Yeah, there's a little out of date too.
And it's hidden away, it's out of date. If we could update it. If there was a link put to it on...
There's a link to it on my player page, and also I think it's like SF0 help, then it will take you to the wiki.
Help.sf0.org. Yeah.
But I always think for these, they should have a link somewhere on the site accessible to new players so they can get an idea of kind of what's going on, you know?
A real one, not the one that they wrote like at the beginning of the game itself. Beginning. We know SSI are busy, so I will send I always send them... Like, I always send them requests, and then I also send them love letters at the same time. Like, I'm like, I request this. Oh, and by the way, I'm in love with you. Because they like love letters and press inquiries.
I mean, who doesn't? That's actually another thing I've been doing a lot lately, is I just send out a big batch of mail art. And I'm starting to wonder, like, I made it, it was kind of a secret, and I made it sort of cryptic at the same time. So... I'm not sure if the people I sent it to really realized that it was from me.
I got there in the end.
yes.
It was the thing that got me was when I typed in the address, the internet address that was on the postcard, it came up with enter a password, and I'm like, hang on a minute. I just tried any likely word on the postcard. There wasn't that much writing, so it didn't take too long to figure out the password.
Yeah.
It's nice to get random things through the mail. It's brilliant.
Yeah, I wanted to add some mystery into it, so...
The mystery makes it even better. I mean, it'd be kind of boring if it was easy.
I was actually voted most mysterious for my, like, senior bests or whatever in high school.
Wow. I was voted most likely to live in a galaxy far, far away. Do they do that in England?
No, not really.
Do you get what we're talking about at all? Like, is that just this totally weird American...
No, we didn't really get given titles like that, yeah.
Generally, the senior class, they'll have a little form that's like, best kisser, you know, most friendly, you know...
Cutest couple.
Cutest couple, yeah, stuff like that. Most likely become president...
Most likely to become a secret agent, most likely to become a mad scientist.
Yeah.
Most likely to be a millionaire.
Most fashionable, blah, blah, blah. And they have, like, you can elect one guy and one girl. And then so everybody votes, and you write in the names. For my year, they totally threw everyone for a loop and used completely non-standard titles. Like, where have you ever heard of, like, most mysterious being, like, a category?
I haven't, but I like it.
Yeah, and it was very funny because I think I was only voted in like that because in my government class where we were taking the little quiz, at one point, you know, we're all just like quietly filling it out, but then at one point a girl kind of looks up and like, you know, we start kind of chatting about yourself like, oh, like what'd you put for blah de blah, like, oh, so-and-so. At one point, one girl looks up, she's sitting like a row or two away from me, and she's like, Danielle is pretty mysterious. Oh, yeah, Danielle's my real name. Yeah, and then so, you know, other people heard her say that, and there were some confirmations like, yeah, you know, and then significant enough amount of people wrote my name in for most mysterious in that classroom alone. And, I mean, I couldn't imagine there would be any other coordination like that.
Art Mouse. She is the mouse of mystery.
Yes.
Speaking of... Another Kate Saturday question. Do mice really like cheese, or is that racist?
I mean, I'm an art mouse, and that is slightly different from standard mice. Art mice love cheese. Cheese is one of their favorite foods. I think my cat is also secretly an art mouse, because she very much likes cheese as well. And no, it's not racist.
Oh, I have a personal question, and you can feel free to lie about this if you want, but do you have any sock puppets?
I do.
Are they, like, active in the game, sock puppets?
I am not at liberty to discuss that at the moment.
Ooh, very, very diplomatic
mystery,
answer.
Mystery. See why you're the most mysterious?
Yeah, she'd hardly have the title of most mysterious if she just told us.
Dartmouth has some unconfirmed sock puppets, which we will be investigating later. It's okay, I'm not the SF0 police, nor am I the grammar police, although I've gotten a few citations from them.
I'm trying to think what other sock puppets are active at the moment. I suppose it might not necessarily be an obvious sock puppet. It could just be another character that actually does tasks and things. That's the sort of sock puppet I like to do, but I really haven't got the time and I don't think I could do it properly anyway.
Yeah. I have an experiment who I will someday do something with, but for now, that's dormant.
I mean, speaking of sock puppet tasking, if we want to start getting into recent significant tasks of late, the mayor of Claycord.
Oh, he made a return,
ooh,
didn't he?
He did really petty theft.
Oh my gosh, not only is he back, but he committed a crime!
Totally against his normal character. I'm not sure what happened to him.
He just had to try it.
It's the game!
Yeah. Even the mayor of Claycord can be turned by the game to try out new things.
But who will bust the mayor of Claycord?
Well, the SF0 police.
That's true.
By the way, has the mayor, like the real mayor of Claycord, ever notice the site existing?
This
was actually
task.
Why it was invented in the first place, wasn't it? The soft puppet. If you go back to
Make the News.
Oh yeah, Make the News.
I definitely read the Make the News. I just didn't know that the mayor himself did anything. Although maybe I didn't read through
it. It's the Claycord blog, which apparently the mayor was writing blog posts about vandals putting clothes on fire hydrants.
There's a lot of misinformation and like really angry commentary on the blog post by just total random strangers, and they're like some of them are like really hating hardcore on
SF0. I'm actually just find the thing.
Oh my god. The one quote I have pulled up right now is this is a comment on the blog. It's like, wow, that little website they posted on is for uncreative hipsters who want to break the law.
That stupid SF0 blog looks like it is for a bunch of nerds.
Nerds.
I love it.
And then you see the activity by the mayor further down in the commentary, and it's good.
But yeah, the mayor was a genius sock puppet.
Yes, very much so.
I guess I have one more Skate Saturday question that I want to ask, although I also want to ask it as myself, because this is definitely always an interesting question, but how has SF0 influenced your outside life, specifically your art?
It's kind of opened the door to bringing my life and my art together, really, like living my art. I feel like that's a really big bridge for a lot of sort of aspiring artists to cross, because I think up to that point, I was really mainly doing artwork for school assignments and whatnot, because I majored in art and I was like a huge art geek in high school. The context of my artwork was always for a class in the classroom. Yeah, it was really invigorating and like a really, a really important like life lesson to discover that my art, quote unquote, could exist like outside of an art community. Like it can be so interactive with other people. The whole thing with art is, it's about expressing a point of view and perhaps opening others' eyes to other ways of thinking and thought, and just kind of like exposure, and I feel like a lot of SF0 is working towards exposing the general public to these new ways of thinking about play and games. It's not just rainy day board games or playing tag on the playground when you're a kid. It can be a lifelong endeavor.
Games are for grown-ups too.
Exactly. Games are for everyone.
You should never be too old for game.
I could ask you things about your life all day. But I probably actually will continue to keep randomly doing guest interview within the other sections of our show, but we should also probably, like,
if good questions come to you, you know,
go to Praxis of the Insert Time Period here.
Oh, yes.
With the time period this time being however long it is since the last podcast. Over a month, I think.
Yes.
Praxis of the Insert Time Period here today.
It's hard. I mean, there were some really good tasks.
There are quite a few good ones, yes.
Yeah.
Going back quite a long way, one that's just sort of for laughs, and it made me laugh, was the Road Scholar, Find Roof Access.
Yes.
I don't
know who's behind Road Scholar.
Brilliant.
But it's
great.
It's
have just my suspicions.
A traffic cone doing tasks. It's
a
kind
really
of
really well-spoken traffic cone who, like, types in really, really pretty typewriter font.
Yeah, it's great. And then just jumping onto a roof. Entirely random, but also
flying,
hilarious.
Flying, more like flying.
Brilliant.
Oh, and then I think he, this is also submitted since the last podcast, is the sundial one that was also made by Road Scholar. I don't know, I really love Crest by Rongo Rongo, which is also the Dispatch Challenge winner.
Oh, yes, of course. I liked, more recently, Rongo Rongo's Fruit Invasion.
Yes,
I really loved that. Just the group of apples with faces invading the tower of the castle. That was brilliant.
Poison Lake's Red Light, Green Light, I thought was pretty fun.
Yeah, yeah.
Hobo Beer Bear.
Oh, yes, the bear one.
Journey Tasks.
And, journey tasks, obviously, are always going to be entertaining.
Viaje al final de la noche.
I've never been on a journey, and I really want to.
Same here. I need to get more people playing in this country, and just get someone to organise Journey to the End of the Night London. Apparently, they did one once before I started playing.
Yeah,
that's really something I'd like to see happen again, but at the moment, they're just... There's hardly anyone in this country that's actually playing the game.
There are a few people in Portland playing, but, like, I still haven't met Poison Lake. I've tried, but I haven't met her yet.
Hmm.
And
how can you not? You're in the same city.
I know, and I think she lives in a different part of town, or just doesn't care about me or something, because I've tried to go over to Facebook, hey, I'm doing this task today, want to hang out? And she's like, oh, I'm busy. I'm like, okay. Cool. It's okay.
Give her a bit more notice, maybe.
Either directly or indirectly recruited. But we have a lot of awesome people. It's just that we have some people who are definitely underage, and they may not necessarily be allowed to do a journey at night. So, like, and if we take them away, we have maybe, like, 3 or 4 dedicated players in all of Portland, which isn't enough to run a journey, I don't think.
Well, I don't know. Susie Durkins managed to do it on her own, pretty much, from Mexico. I mean, she's the only SF-Zero player down there. She had assistance from Loki and Anuel, I think.
Spidey as well.
Yes. Oh, yes, of course. Mustn't forget Spidey.
If I had money for a plane ticket to Mexico, yeah. Of course I would go, but...
It's a shame it all comes down to money.
Yeah.
If money was no object, I would go to all these things.
Back to random guest interview question time, because I just thought of this question. Who is your mentor player?
Well, do you mean, like, inspiration, or, like, who helped me the most in being an active tasker?
Because I know you mentioned, I think, proximity or proximity or...
Proximity.
Proximity. Everything starts to look like Praxis. Who is your person who you look up to, and it's like, oh, I kind of wish I could task like them? And also, but they've also hopefully been very helpful and, like, talked to you about stuff, too.
I definitely gotta give a shout-out to Christina with a K. Well, basically, we're, like, best friends in real life.
That's pretty awesome.
But besides that, like, you know, her tasking was, you know, as the Vixen and as Christina with a K, it's just, like, you know, something to admire. Really thoughtful and dedicated and, like, just had such a spirit of fun about her task, so... but also wasn't afraid to kind of bring them towards more serious sort of topics and whatnot. All the people I hang out with now, you know, like, quote-unquote legendary players, you know, in the Bay Area, like, it was hard not being, like, you know, totally starstruck first, you know, actually becoming friends with everyone, and just their influence on my everyday life outside of the game has been more than a measure for words, you know?
Oh, and when you studied abroad, where exactly did you go?
I studied abroad in Mo'orea, It's in French Polynesia. It's the sister island to Tahiti.
Oh, wow. That sounds really fun.
Yes, it was the best thing ever.
And did you meet any other players?
I didn't. What? But I was actually conversing a lot with Benjamin, and it was funny because he was in Luxembourg at the time, and I was in, you know, Tahiti, and we were both conversing with each other about how much we missed our friends and, like, how lonely we were. And then, like, he's like, wait a minute, I'm in, like, Fairytime Castle awesomeness, and you're in one of the most beautiful places on Earth, Tropical Paradise, and we're... complaining about our situation.
Oh, and if you could get any badge, which badge do you want?
Best kisser. Durr.
Oh, I want that too. It's good kisser, not best kisser, just good kisser.
Oh, right.
Have you talked to the founders about getting that?
I haven't talked to the founders, but my boyfriend was pretty upset. I was like, man, I really want to get this good kisser badge. And he's like, what? He's like, how are you going to go about doing that? It's like, you can't go around kissing other people. I'm like, ooh.
It's just for the game.
Yeah. It's for a badge.
You have to kiss and make it real.
But yeah, I mean, I don't know. If I could, I would kiss a lot of Message Zero players because they are some of those awesome people I know. You know?
Aww.
And not in, like, a really sexual way, but, like, you know, just, like, a really, like, romantic, like, appreciation.
One thing that I've realized from talking to everyone in the community is that everyone is... It has romantic feelings for everyone else on the site. Not necessarily sexual, because they're on the internet, but still, everyone loves everyone.
For the most part, yeah.
Yes, except for Science Guru. I think that we've looked at a lot of the things we want to highlight. I think Tsukasa was pretty cool by Sayla, who is now Coraline's daughter, but she used to be Sayla, so that's what I'm going to call her.
Yeah.
Well, that's the recent one, isn't it? Yeah.
Yeah.
Yes, it's really the only Praxis that's been submitted this week. So yeah. The Praxis of the week.
And it was actually a level zero originally.
Exactly, so. But they re-let it in so she could have it.
Yeah, I feel like she's a player with a lot of potential.
If you read it, it's a really kind of sad, depressing story for half of it. And then you just get to the part where random strangers show acts of kindness. I love it when people do that.
Yes.
More people should be that nice.
Sayla is someone who I almost know in real life. Like, I've never met her in real life, but I've talked to her on the phone, which is more than I've done with most SF0 players. I know her group of friends personally. I met Team Sacramento at one point. It was cool. Which she used to be a part of. But we should probably get to things that are not attempting to come up with a praxis of the insert time period here.
If we come up with there's no definitive winner.
Yeah.
A lot of people did a lot of cool stuff over a lot of time.
And we've kind of left the gap far too long to pick one winner, I think. They're all good.
Really, if you're playing the game, you're winning.
Yeah.
Yes.
They're all good tasks. Yeah. They're all good practice.
Yeah. I was really jealous of Naming's trespassing in that, like, abandoned church. I was like, it's so cool.
But I'm really angry because Naming came to Portland and he didn't visit me or call me or anything, and I really wanted to meet him.
I don't know he came to Portland.
I think he does a lot of traveling. Like, you read his one praxis, and it's like he lives in a city for, like, between 6 months and 2 years, and then he moves. And then that's just how he is. And he's lived in Portland twice, but I think he's lived in Chicago the longest.
Yeah, I was gonna say, he's one of the new Chicago team.
Yeah.
Although, you know, there are some people who are prominent, like... Jason is technically in PD0, but he doesn't task for us anymore. He doesn't live here. Makes me cry.
Don't cry, Pixie.
You just want to get him to move back. Convince him it's a task.
Yes. I love how there was a task for like 35 points, which is like, you know, care about the game so much to where you move to San Francisco. And then like many, many people did it and didn't get very many votes for it.
Oh.
Like, they just moved to San Francisco for the game, for points, and then no one voted for them. It's kind of amazing, and a little bit depressing at the same time.
It's not always for points, is it, though? I mean...
No, I mean...
Doing things for the game is... Mm-hmm. You do them because you like the game, because you enjoy what you're doing.
Yeah, I miss when Minch still lived in San Francisco.
Oh, of course, she moved out to Austin at some point, didn't she?
Yeah, I mean, that's where she's from originally. Just got a little too expensive to live out here, and then, you know, some other stuff as well. Christine and I miss her.
I miss Miss Minch. I never even knew her, and she's one of the first players who ever fascinated me. Because she seemed to be very, like, established in the game, but she had no praxis up, except for the one.
Yeah, she deleted her account. Or deleted, like, every single task she ever did. And it was kind of heartbreaking. We were like, no.
And it's one of my many, like, goals in life to get her to come back. For real.
I have many goals that involve getting people to come back. I'm not sure how many of them, actually. I was working on GY0 for a while, but I think that may well be a lost cause. Especially now they're all over the country.
Right now, you're the only person in your country who is as epic and prolific as you are.
Let's see, I mean, Secret Adrian has done some tasking this era.
Secret Agent, he is in this country, isn't he?
London, yes.
Yes. Yeah, when I first met Secret Agent, I wasn't entirely sure. I say when I first met him, I've only met him once.
Was that for the video podcast?
Yes, yeah, that was at the UK Zero Gathering when they did the video podcast. And that was great. I met so many good players there for like the first time. I mean, for a start, it was the first time I'd met anyone from GY0 apart from Tom. And then there was Charlie Fish was there.
Mm-hmm.
Christina was there, and she's awesome. And then there was Secret Agent as well. I wasn't entirely sure at the time whether he was American or British, to be honest. I don't know, because...
He's actually Canadian, and he,
What?
That's probably... It's the middle ground between Britain and America, isn't he?
Well,
Canadian.
Oh, I hope I didn't just let, like, a giant secret slip.
I think I can now excuse myself for being confused.
But yeah, he's lived in London for, like, the last 10 years or something, so...
I just wasn't sure.
In London. I thought him and Babe were both from Vienna.
Mm-mm. I think Babe and maybe one or two other players are the only ones in Austria.
Good to know.
For the longest time, I thought that Babe was from Sweden for some reason. I don't know why. I hadn't yet listened to any of the audio that she had posted for Praxis or something. I don't know where I got Sweden from. Maybe it was just wishful thinking. But Vienna is awesome, so...
What is our level zero that we're going to highlight?
That somebody's completed or that we want people to do?
Last time we were just looking at recent unscored tasks that have been submitted. See if anyone's actually done one recently.
One that I want to highlight that looks cool is convince a human that you are a machine.
Yes. Will this turn curve?
I like Toys' comment on that one.
Yeah.
Ladies and gentlemen, spoiler alert, plug your ears, Tooser and Jason are not the same person. Which blew my mind, almost as much as finding out...
Are we entirely sure, though? I mean, could all be an elaborate act.
Oh my gosh, we need to have Jason and Tooser as our guests on the next podcast.
Yes.
So that way we can really definitively prove it's not true.
I'm sure Jason would like that very much.
Where's that tiger? And I want you guys to look at it and say if you like it. Because if you don't, then I'll let it go.
It'd be pretty fun.
That could be fun, yes.
Well, fun, challenging, potentially awesome, potentially dangerous, potentially might get you kicked out of somewhere. All the good things that Ness of Zero Test should
good.
Have. Anyone else have another idea?
I need a group of people to do these things with, damn it.
Well, that's okay. It encourages recruitment, doesn't it?
Yeah.
It'd be neat if one of the sort of goals of the task was also to get random bystanders involved as well.
Yeah.
You know, because it's very clear that what you're doing, you know, a little invisible shootout, get some people to join your team. Like, come on, get some backup.
It all depends on which maul you use.
Generally, I am not a fan of mauls, but maybe that would make it fun to be in a maul.
Life, Kava, feed something that scares you. I love Evil Twin Towers. I like that a lot, actually. I could feed... Oh, God. I'm deathly afraid of something. I can't remember what it is right now. Oh, well.
I'm afraid of zombies.
I found the... one I kind of like, but is also really evil.
What?
Is artificial falconry.
What's that?
For years, we've been told that releasing balloons into the environment may inadvertently harm wildlife. Do your part to address this important issue by deploying a balloon-borne device designed to harm wildlife.
I mean, one of my favorite all-time pre-tired tasks is Operation McHomeless Lunch Snackathon.
Yes.
Best name ever. Yeah. I mean, Kyle Hampton writes the best tasks, like, already, but...
Well, he's written the most tasks.
That's true. Create a healthy and wonderful bag lunch for a random homeless man or woman. This meal should contain at least 2,000 calories and be made with love. Tasty, tasty love.
Aww. What happened to him? Where is he gone?
He is in college right now, getting his degree, so...
Well, why doesn't he talk to me? I'm in college, too. We can have a college talkathon.
Yeah, I feel like a lot of people kind of dropped off the map after Insatiability for some reason.
Yeah. Last time Carl Hamilton logged in was apparently November the 3rd, 2009. Kind of sad. I don't like looking at last logged in bits sometimes. I'm too sentimental.
I'm very sentimental.
What is your favorite task that you've ever written, ArtMouse?
Oh, my favorite one?
Mm-hmm.
I don't know. I like them all. Because I haven't created that many, but written
that
many.
Oh, tell us,
tell us. Okay. Well, the one that I like the
Say
most...
What?
Just because kind of it has the most interpretability, like it can be done so many different ways, was where were you when the blank went out? And it's have an adventure during a blackout. And I link blackout to the Wikipedia entry of it, where it can be either a power outage, a blackout during broadcasting, communications blackout, and in parentheses, alcohol-related amnesia. And deep water blackout, shallow water blackout. Yeah, so just have an adventure during that. I also like, in the same sort of vein as Operation Awesome Lunch, is a task called The Breakfast Club. Given the opportune occurrence of a captive audience of relative strangers, construct a bag lunch of epic unconventional ingredients.
Yes.
Consume conspicuously with conviction.
Yes.
Pixie sticks on your sandwich. No, I've got a picture.
I once had a sword called the Pixie Stick. Actually, it was a quarterstaff, but we don't talk about those days. Hey, I can be mysterious, too.
Never said you can be.
Do you ever write tribute tasks, or want to write a tribute task?
Because
I know that there's been one task attributed to you.
I've had a couple ideas, but they usually weren't that good, so I didn't write them down. Yeah, the task that Pixie's referring to is one that Blue created a while back. It's, yeah, unconventional patch, and it links to people. I believe it started in Denmark, because that's where Legos are from, but they started using Legos just for fun, like just like patching up all the holes in the really old stone masonry.
Ooh.
Around the city. Yeah.
Yes. Oh, I saw the pictures of that. That is so beautiful.
I informed him of that, and then he created the task after seeing that.
You know you're a real player when someone makes you a tribute task. It's why I'm not a real player yet. I'm still a noob.
As far as I'm aware, I'm not either.
It's okay.
Don't say that.
It's okay, Sombrero Guy. I care about you. I'll write you a tribute task someday.
I hardly ever write tasks at all. I should start writing more.
Maybe that would help the drive problem if we write more tasks.
It's fun.
Write more
it's
tasks,
fun
and
writing
then I just
tasks.
Want to do all of them.
Yeah, I actually wrote.
How do you get that? Can you get up a list of all the tasks you've written?
Me or anybody?
Oh.
Well, no. Could I get one up for me?
Usually, you have to. I mean, the easiest way that I do is I created a term that referred to task that I created, and then labeled it after it had been written or it had shown up on the unscored page.
This is true. One person who notably does not do that is Lincoln. He writes a ton of tasks, and it's impossible to find any of them. They're also really strange. Well, that's not always true, but generally they're pretty strange tasks.
Would you expect anything less of Lincoln?
This is true. Lincoln is not exactly the master of normalcy, which, you know, would be a compliment to him.
I mean, who wants to be master of normalcy?
He's...
Not I.
If there is one term that I would use to describe Lincoln, it is badass. It's kind of true. He's almost died for S0. I think that if anyone can get the badass badge, then it would be him.
I'm pretty sure there used to be a term that was something along the lines of task which should not be approved because Lincoln.
Yes.
And the description... I can't find this term now. I'm looking for it.
It's there. Do not approve this because Lincoln will try it and inevitably die. It's... And one of them is one of the tasks that's labeled that is called Face Certain Death, and it's written by Lincoln.
There you have it.
We've decided our dispatch challenge, haven't we? The go get 'em tiger? Or no, not go get 'em tiger, that's different. Where's that tiger? The one that's the shootout.
Yeah, and it's, you know, relatively simple and straightforward. You don't have to do elaborate amounts of planning to execute it. And so someone, hopefully, will find some time to go into a mall and terrorize some people.
I have a friend who works mall security, so this is going to be so fun. So I think we're to our random player. And by that, I mean... Player of the Week. Ladies and gentlemen, now we will go and do a sacred ritual known as finding the random player of the week. So, who wants to do the honors? I think it should be our special guest, because she is special and guest-like.
All right. Well, I've got the page up right here, and the player of the week is Jade.
Jade!
She's got a very intense picture and lots of eyeliner. She's only completed player photograph.
Friends with one person.
Friend with one person.
Booyah, yeah. Grandma.
I've also
that's
not
what
her.
Yeah,
says.
Booyah, Grandma.
Uzla only has one friend, and that's Jade. But he at least has, like, a nice poem on his profile page. And it's pretty good looking, too.
It's just his silhouette. How can you tell?
I don't know, his hair. I really like his hair. Seems to be in shape.
Completely influenced by the hair.
Has nice glasses.
And both of these
random
players.
Random player of the week has once again come up with someone who's done nothing, basically.
So let's talk about our like new player that we actually want to highlight, because I actually have a new player who I want to highlight.
Oh, go ahead then. I was about to like look through lists and find something.
CM has actually been active, which is kind of a big deal. And the things that she's been active with have been definitely better than your average new player. And so I want to say shout out to CM, you're cool. Also, wow, you friended me. And you friended some bro guy. You should also friend Artmouse, by the way.
Yeah, I mean, I think one big fault of mine on the site is that I just tend to only look at the stuff my friend has done, you know? Like in the little update section, and it's really hard for
me. I make sure that if I see things I like, I add that person as a friend so that they will appear on my update.
Part of what I do is I try to be the welcome committee for the game. So if I've never seen someone
then... You do a good job.
Yeah. Thank you. It's my senatorial committee that I've decided on.
This was my senatorial thing, and I'm not even a senator.
Then
everyone,
you should be.
Vote
Sombrero
Guy.
Vote Sombrero Guy, man.
He's the best. He's the best.
I have 20 votes, I think. This is my promise. Bring back the podcast, and look, I've done it.
Yeah, and he's not even a senator yet.
Vote,
he has no contractual agreement to do anything for the site.
We already have a podcast. CM, you're awesome. Please keep up the good work. And please stay active, because right now you're like the only person.
Just to be clear, we're not talking about CM Gonzalez, who is also awesome.
Yes.
But is male.
But not a new player who's been
not a new player.
CM Gonzalez is definitely not new. He's older than I am. So, for the dispatch challenge, ladies and gentlemen who are listening, that should be completed by the time we come up with the next podcast, which will be undisclosed, so you better start working on it now, because it could be next week, it could be next month, it could be next year. Okay, so I think that we have come to the end of our podcast. I hope that all of you listening have a wonderful day. I hope that everyone here has a wonderful day. And thank you so much, Artmouse, for talking to us. And thank you so much, Sombrero Guy, for editing. And I'm sorry if it's a pain.
One last little plug I have here. This probably should have went in the news section.
Yes.
But as a favor to Kate Saturday, if there's any players listening in the Bay Area, Kate organizes this event. This is outside of the game. It's called $2 Tuesdays. And it takes place in San Jose at a gallery. And it's like a mini music and art showcase. And they have a little section that's called the Quirky Speaker Series for this upcoming one. She has invited local SF-Zero players to come speak about their experience with SF-Zero and tell their crazy tale. Yeah, and she's also said it would be totally awesome if we could make it into like some sort of giant task, because nobody tasks anymore, if that's any incentive to anybody. There's that.
Speaking of plugs, Fionn exists!
Woo!
Oh, yes, we were going to say that, weren't we?
Yeah.
You could totally play Fionn on Facebook, which is like SF-Zero Mini, and just starting. So if you want to be part of a legacy that I'm sure will grow to be amazing and awesome, you should do things on Fionn. And you should vote for everything I've done.
Way to be subtle.
Subtlety is definitely not one of my finer arts. Like, I have skills and abilities. Subtlety, I don't think, is among them.
But yeah, I mean, if you're doubtful about the spelling, it's P-H-E-O-N. If you can't find it directly on Facebook, you can go to fionn.org.
And then you get the nice introduction weird story bit as well.
Thanks, you guys, for having me. It's been really fun.
You're welcome. It's totally
it's
an amazing honor to talk to you.
Oh, you're sweet.
It's the truth, though. So, everyone, I think, good night and good luck.
Yes.
Yeah.
Sweet dreams in SF-Zero Land.